Welcome to a special Street Level podcast. I'm Olivia and thank you for joining us. As part of our focus on themes of neighborhoods for our new blog, Mouth Sauce, we visited the exhibit Never a Lovely So Real at the Art Institute, which features local photographers capturing their own neighborhoods in Chicago. Me and Ian got a chance to sit down and talk with the curator, Michal.
So your exhibit tells a lot of stories about a lot of different neighborhoods in the city. There's a lot of different projects brought together for this one exhibition. How do you start the process of curating all these pieces of work?
This particular exhibition started out with our collection of photographs right here at the museum. We, in the Department of Photography, we have approximately 26,000 photographs in our collection. And just over a quarter of that represents work made right here in Chicago. And one of the questions that I had as I began looking through this body of work was, what histories haven't we told from this collection? What stories are lesser known, and what histories have we also overlooked and forgotten about? And that's how this exhibition began.
It's surprising to see how people that aren't from our city are so interested in our culture. Michal goes on by talking about more interesting information regarding photos and the exhibit in general.
And even more specifically, back in 2014, we acquired a group of works by Gordon Parks. Gordon Parks was a very well-known photojournalist. He was actually the first African-American staff photographer hired by Life magazine, and he was hired there in 1948. And he's best known for the work he did for the magazine, but he also went on to become a filmmaker, a musician, an author, etc. And we actually acquired a group of 20 photographs by him that represented three assignments that he did for Life magazine. And two of those were taken right here in Chicago. There was a 1953 story called The Metropolitan Missionary Baptist Church, and then a 1963 story about the Nation of Islam that was headquartered right here in Chicago. And what struck me about both of these bodies of work is that they appear to tell, first of all, the story was told from a very insider point of view. In both of these instances, Gordon Parks was granted unprecedented access into this community and was able to tell a story from their point of view. And there was a unique character to them, and I felt like it was a point of view and a story about Chicago that wasn't familiar to me and I hadn't seen before and speaks to a larger history. And this idea of photographing as an insider formed a launch pad for the exhibition, and then for looking through our collection and trying to find other projects and works made right here in Chicago that were done in the same spirit and in the same style.
Okay, so I know that you talked about how the exhibit was like, most of the photos and stuff were based in Chicago. I was just wondering, like, are you from Chicago yourself, or like, where are you from?
I am not from Chicago, but at this point I've lived here longer than I've lived anywhere else. I've been here for a long time. So I know the city as a resident of the city, but what's also important to know from the point of view of this exhibition, and the reason I decided also that Chicago would be a great subject for a show about photography, is that photography has a very long and important history in the city. And Chicago, actually, one of the art forms that Chicago is known for is photography. And in the same sense, one of the things that Chicago is really well known for is its political and cultural and social history.
It was cool to hear how Michal, along with the art museum, were able to get a hold of so many old photos. Some even go back to the 1920s. Even though most were anonymous, it was still exciting to see.
And in other big cities like New York or Los Angeles, you see photographers in those years and same years covered by the show responding to all of the things that were happening in the city, again, all of the cultural, political things that were happening in the city. And for some reason, the history of photography in the city wasn't as well known. So again, having lived here for over a decade and getting to know the history of the city and getting to know the landscape of the city, and wanting to learn more about it, I felt like photography was a great way into that. And so I started out by wanting, again, to try and bring to the surface a history of photography in the city that was lesser known.
So I know that you said that the museum had a lot of photos. How did you guys like come across them photos? Because some of them photos are like old. But you know, like, how did you guys get your hands on it? Like, who donated them or who, you know, sold them?
That's a great question. So in our department, we look at the entire history of photography. So photography is about 175 years old. And we have photographs from that entire history and from all over the world. And we're constantly discovering that history, right? It's in no way fixed or set. So even though, you know, we have, again, photographs that start in the 19th century, we're still thinking about the 19th century. We're still discovering new things. And as we do our job, we're constantly thinking about what areas in that history did we miss? What areas in that history didn't we know about a few years ago? What are the gaps in our collection? How can we add to it? And where do we find those photographs is the other part of the question. And the answer to that is in a lot of different places. So we work a lot with galleries. We work a lot with art dealers. We also work a lot with collectors who collect this work. And a lot of it is, you know, is going out and seeing gallery shows and seeing museum shows and learning new names and learning about new artists or movements or time periods. But it's also a lot of word of mouth, you know. So this exhibition is a great example of that. There is a big part of the show, which is dedicated to a network of Southside photographers, most of whom were photojournalists, that were not very well known and were not represented in our collection. And I found out about them through a publication that was called The Black Photographer's Annual that was first published in 1972. And it was a kind of encyclopedia of African-American photographers. It was actually started by a group of photographers based in New York who felt like there were a lot of fellow photographers, again, African-American photographers out there who were not well represented and didn't have any place to publish or show their work. So they started this publication as a way to promote the work of their work and the work of their colleagues. And it was meant to be published every year, but only 4 issues were ever published. And our library happens to be one of the few libraries in the country that has all 4 volumes of this publication. And each one highlights somewhere between 30 to 50 photographers, and it's arranged like portfolios, you know, like sets of photographs. And I started looking through this and seeing, you know, let's see, were any Chicago photographers highlighted in this? And it turns out that almost every issue featured a pretty large number of photographers that were either based in Chicago or had ties to Chicago. And I just started going down the list and one by one trying to find out who are they? Were they still alive? Are they still around? Can I find them on Google? Is there work in any other museum's collection, et cetera? And then it became word of mouth. Once I found a few photographers, then they would tell me about other photographers. And then I realized that there was this incredibly tight-knit network of these photojournalists, again, who were living and working in the South Side, making work that didn't have any place, that wasn't widely published, that wasn't widely exhibited, and was kind of omitted from this history of photography in the city. And I realized that this was also a big gap in our collection, because if we're going to say that our collection represents the history of photography, and the history of photography in Chicago, this was certainly an important part of it, and a part of it that we needed to represent. And so that also demonstrates in a lot of ways how everything we do is goes back to our collections. And so if you think about it, our exhibitions are tied to our collections always. So for example, our collection might lead to ideas for exhibitions, and vice versa, exhibitions might then make us aware of things that we need to add to our collections here at the museum. So it's always connected, and our goal is to, you know, to collect and preserve and provide an education about art history. And so it's our responsibility to make sure that we continuously think about that history and what has and how it has to be modified or adjusted or expanded, you know, as we learn more and see more and understand more.
So a lot of these photos tell kind of like place and time stories. When you were getting the collection together to put up on the walls, was there any story that you came across that like really stuck with you or something like maybe you didn't know about that you're glad that you learned about through the process?
Yeah, one of my favorite bodies of work in the exhibition is by Mickey Farrell. Mickey Farrell was a photojournalist who was born and raised here in Chicago, in the South Side. She moved to Mexico briefly to study with her mentor, Ted Williams, and she came back here in 1970. And she was working freelance for publications like The Defender and Muhammad Speaks, other mostly Southside-based publications. But in her spare time, she was making all of these really extensive projects about her own neighborhood. And one of her most extensive projects was titled The Garage. And The Garage was literally a garage that every Sunday would get cleared out and turned into a jazz club where they had DJ jazz battles. And the way it would work is that, you know, they would start at 2 p.m. every Sunday. They would have the DJ jazz battles for 4 hours. And at 6 o'clock, the battle would be done. And they would bring in the live music. And the party would spill onto the street. And it was a complete word-of-mouth event. And Mickey was the garage's official photographer, so to speak. You know, she photographed there regularly. She was welcomed as the official photographer. And she photographed there for almost 10 years, you know. And it's a remarkable project, and it's a project that she's never exhibited in depth, meaning that she's only shown maybe just a small handful of photographs here and there in small group shows, but she's never shown the project in its entirety. And so my goal was to not just represent the work, but represent the work as she wanted it represented. So we have more than 30 photographs in the exhibition. And we also have a 16-millimeter color film that she shot at the garage, which she has never shown before. And this was kind of wonderful because she gave me the original film reel, and she actually lost the accompanying sound reel to it. And she asked us to help her in kind of reconstructing it. And so we went and we researched music that was played at the garage, and she selected one of her favorite songs that was regularly played at the garage. And then we worked very closely with our tech team here at the museum to join it with the film and kind of pace it correctly so it looked like it belonged to the film. And that's included in the show. So it's a great project, but importantly, it also speaks to how crucial these networks were to this history. So what you see in these images is the fact that Mickey wasn't just there documenting these events. You get the sense from the way the images are shot that she is part of the event. She's in there. She's practically dancing when she's taking some of these photographs. And she's really a part of this group. And they got to know her over the years. And she gained their trust. And this was something that became so fundamentally important to the entire exhibition, is this idea of networks, artistic networks, community networks, networks across the city. And so that's a project that that is quite close to my heart for a number of reasons, because of everything that it represents within the show. So it speaks both to, again, this idea of neighborhood communities, but also artistic communities.
I'll go again with another question, a two-parter. One, as a curator, do you ever get to kind of like experience like the reactions of the people who come into your exhibits?
Yes, that is that's a great question. So, yes, and we always make it a point. Programming in general is a very important part of what we do. So, anytime we put together an exhibition, we very quickly start thinking about what kind of programs we could have in conjunction with the exhibition that then make the show even more accessible to the public, but also gives the public multiple angles on that exhibition. And one of the things that we always try to do as curators is to be available to give tours and talks to the public about the show. And that's always a great opportunity to have a conversation about what is in the exhibition. And that's something that's always rewarding and really fascinating and interesting. One of my favorite things to do as a curator that I've done regularly is every time an exhibition opens, I always make it a point to kind of go out in the galleries, hide my badge in my pocket, and just start walking around and just eavesdrop on conversations and see how people are reacting to the material, because it's always fascinating to see how things that you maybe didn't notice, people notice right away, or how people interpret the material on the wall. And then that informs then how we do work moving forward, because we're always thinking, because we have very specific knowledge about the work, and we also have very specific ideas about how we want to present it to the public. But what the public might get out of it is something completely different, right? And so that feedback from the public helps us then think about moving forward, you know, the kind of ideas we want to include and how we want to present them. So that's something that we always try to do. We have, you know, and it's not just the public, it's also classes and seminars and students, and getting, you know, a variety of points of view, a variety of perspectives on the exhibition.
Okay, so I know that you said that, you know, photography is a big thing in Chicago. So what are some things that you think have changed about the structure of, like, neighborhoods in Chicago, or, like, photography in Chicago since 1950s?
I think, you know, Chicago is, what's unique about Chicago is that it's got such a diverse range of communities, but also those communities have remained largely separated and segregated from one another. What is wonderful to see over time is how the artist communities has, you know, the community of artists here in Chicago has been one way and one means of connecting all of those communities. And that's something that I think is really wonderful. I think the art community in Chicago, regardless of who it is and where they're located, I think the art community here is very tight-knit, and makes it a point to connect with one another, to be in conversation with one another. And that's something that, you know, that I think is truly special about Chicago. And I think that those bonds and those connections have only become stronger over time. And I hope that it becomes, you know, then that art community becomes a path then for, you know, for other areas to, you know, to learn from and follow in that direction as well.
Speaking of, like, time and, like, we're in a different time now versus the art that was up on the wall. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about, like, social media and the fact that somebody can take 100 pictures in one day rather than actually taking one single shot and having to go through, like, developing it? Do you think that the overabundance of photography nowadays kind of, like, lowers it's the appreciation that people give towards it?
So photography is unique because it lives out there in the world, right? That's what makes photography so different than all other arts, right? And photography spent many, many years trying to prove that it was an art form that belonged in a museum. And it took a long time for that world to realize that what made it unique was that it was out there in the world, right? So photography can be used for, you know, there's photojournalism, there's scientific images, there's snapshots that people take. And all of those are an important part of what makes photography art and what makes it unique. And I think, you know, social media is definitely interesting, but I think rather than it diluting the art part of photography, I think it's informing art photography and it's influencing art photography. And I think it's borrowing from it and vice versa. It'll be interesting to see where it goes from here. You know, and artists have responded to all of these changes and are making work that is, you know, is directly influenced by all of these changes in the same way that, you know, not even 50 years ago, color photography was seen, you know, was declared as ruining fine art photography. But now, you know, color photography, of course, you know, it's an art form. So, and also, again, 30, 40, 50 years ago, photojournalism, the kind of images that you see in magazines and newspapers, were not considered to be appropriate for a museum to show. And now we know that it's an important part of the history. So I think in the same way, it's evolving and it's growing. And I think that it, you know, it's becoming a part of the art conversation. And I think artists are thinking about it a lot, you know, and a great example of that is fairly recently, our museum started collecting snapshots from the earlier part of the 20th century when cameras were just becoming available to the public and photography became really affordable and everybody started taking snapshots, right? Like the kind of images that you see in your grandparents' photo albums. And several years ago, we began to realize how important these images were for the history of photography, and we started collecting them. It's a very difficult task. It's a very tricky task. But it's something that now, you know, half a century later, we are collecting and that we have in our collection. So we have a lot of photographs by anonymous, meaning we don't know who took them, but they're snapshots. And they tell us a lot about how photography evolved. They tell us a lot about how people thought about being in front of the camera and how that changed very quickly. And it's an important part of that history. So I imagine that, you know, as time goes on, we'll look back, and as we begin to understand what's happening now, we'll start thinking about how all of these images, again, on Instagram, et cetera, in social media, how those have to be part of the history that we would preserve in a museum. But it takes time, you know.
Earlier, I had a two-part question. Second part to that question about you witnessing the reactions of your audience. Yeah. Who seems to be responding more to the exhibit? People who have had experiences during those times, or who may even have lived in those neighborhoods, or people who are just discovering all this work for the first time?
I think I've seen a lot of both, which is really fantastic. So I think that I've seen a lot of people who are really familiar with the history of the city, but are really excited to see it depicted through these multiple lenses, and it's kind of giving them a new perspective on all of those events that they weren't familiar with. I've seen a lot of people who are familiar with a certain history of photography in the city and are walking into the exhibition, and a lot of the names are really unfamiliar to them, and they're excited to kind of broaden their idea of what the history of photography was about. And then you see a lot of people that just didn't know the history of Chicago in this way, or only knew the history of one part of Chicago. And this kind of introduces them to parts of the city that they just didn't know about. And the most exciting part of that part of it is, and what I hope the exhibition will do, is that you see all of these projects done in very different parts of the city, very disparate parts of the city, but there's all these threads that connect them, right? There's all these connections that are made between these projects. And what's really fascinating to see then with people who weren't as familiar with the city is that they're able to make those connections and learn about parts of the cities or history of the city that they were not as familiar with. Through these visual connections that are made in the show. So what I hope is that, you know, someone coming in and seeing the photographs made in the South Side, again, by this network of photojournalists, a lot of what they were doing was they were trying to provide a kind of alternative, almost corrective representation of what the South Side was, and their own communities there, because they saw the South Side being represented in one way in the media, and they were trying to show, no, this is our community and this is what it's really like. And they were making photographs, you know, for of their own community for themselves. And on the other end of town, you have Danny Lyon, who was making photographs of the Uptown neighborhood, which at the time was nicknamed Hillbilly Heaven. It was a neighborhood where white immigrants from the Deep South had settled looking for work. It was a neighborhood that was known for being poor, for being filled with crime and drugs, etc. Again, it was a neighborhood that had a very poor reputation and was being represented in one way in the media. And he befriended a group of kids living on this two-block stretch of Clifton Avenue, and he photographed them regularly for an entire summer and got to know them and befriended them and actually kept in touch with them for years after. And you look at these photographs and they're filled with warmth and passion about these individuals, and they really show a side of Uptown that wasn't very well known. And so again, it's like you two complete ends, different ends of the city, north and south, but the way in which they're connected because of how these photographers approached them, and how each of these photographers sought to depict them, kind of highlights the connections between them. You know, so that's just one example, and there's others throughout where I hope, you know, those kind of ties can be seen.
Okay. And so I know you have to go soon, so we respect your time. But my last question is, if you could, like, say anything to, like, anyone just about the art museum or about the exhibit, like, within itself, or anything you would like to say or anything you would like to share, what would it be?
I would say come visit us more often. I think we do, you know, not just in the photography department, but the whole museum, we do, there's such a range of projects and ideas and subject matter in this museum. And it's constantly changing. And like I said, we are constantly discovering, as museum staff, we are constantly discovering our own collections and discovering ideas about our collections and new perspectives, and we want to share them with the public. And so, you know, I encourage everyone to come here and discover ideas and artworks and again, subjects that are less familiar, and also take advantage of the endless programs that we host. The programs are really a way to get to know not only the collection, but who's behind the scenes a little bit better, and take full advantage of what we do here, because as I said earlier, we learn just as much from you all as we do from the art that we have in our collection. So just visit often.
Well, thank you.
I'm Ian.
This is Olivia.
And we're Street Level
Youth Media.
Thank you both. I enjoyed this very much.
So yeah, check out the Art Institute. It's cool to see art about your own neighborhood from all around the world. Thanks for listening. Special thanks to our friend in the education department at the Art Institute. To hear more podcasts, check out our new blog, MouthSauce, at mouthsauce.org. This podcast is produced by Street Level, a division of Urban Gateways made possible through the McCormick Foundation. Find out more about us at streetlevel.org.